Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right. March Madness is over.
It's over. It's over. I guess Roy Williams told me what it
was. Your boy.
Yeah, he told me. I heard it. They played it. They played it earlier this week. They just played that clip. I guess somebody they liked that clip when we were talking about that. But
okay.
I guess we predicted it outright. Roy Williams knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to give him credit. He's out. They say now he's got more wins than Dean Smith,
Uh-oh. His
mentor. He has taken over.
That's big time.
Yeah, it is.
That's big time. You
know? And, of course, man, media is so fickle. I was listening to Sports Talk the other day.
Yes.
And they had to throw shade on him, okay?
What'd they say about him?
77 times he's been investigated in the collegiate ranks for
academic fraud.
Cheating. Okay. Yeah. There's all kind of terms you can use, but I can remember back in the day.
He'd been investigated. That's like if you were a millionaire, you've been audited.
Yeah. 77 times.
They coming. He ain't in jail. He not done coaching.
They never came up with anything. Okay. And now back in the day, the rule was if you wasn't cheating, you wasn't trying. Okay,
sure
so
was.
You wasn't trying to win if you wasn't cheating.
You had to
whether
do something.
Whether you believe it or not, you know, if you're not cheating, you ain't trying.
So. Especially with them football players.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Eric Dickerson said, if you ain't give me no car, I wouldn't even come in for the visit.
Highest bidder, baby.
He said it was a Trans Am, a Formula Trans Am, a gold one. And his mama said, it's a car. I tell you, yes, I got to go visit them next week.
Yep.
So you got to look at that. That's the wage of war, but You fighting for the best players because they're going to make you – it's a billion dollar weekend.
It's a billion dollars. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the stories was Marcus Dupree. I don't know if you remember him or not.
Yes, I do.
And they asked Marcus, what did he have to get to go to Oklahoma?
Marcus Dupree, the football player.
Right.
Woo-wee.
Marcus said a double wide. That's all he wanted for his mom was a double wide, man.
A house. That's all
and
he said.
They put her in it.
Yep. Yes, he did. They put her in a house. I just want a house for my mama.
Yep. Out in Oklahoma, maybe it was Northern Texas. I forgot where Marcus Dupree was from, but
yeah, Northern Texas. Yeah.
He was on better 30 than Bo for
Jackson.
30.
Yeah, he was better than Bo Jackson. He was better than a lot of people.
He was a beast, man. But you know, all that short lived. If you don't do the right things with that money, but you know, North
Didn't
Carolina.
Did Saban get a hold of him?
Dupree, who was that?
Marcus Dupree.
Saban.
Yeah. Was he affiliated with him?
I thought he was at Oklahoma when he played for Barry Switzer.
Yeah, Barry Switzer. That's the name.
Barry Switzer he played for.
I just know he was a mean coach, one of the mean coaches.
I think when he came into the league, that was when they had that USFL battle going on.
Yeah, he went out there for that money.
And he went out for the money.
Because he was too young to go to the NFL.
Right.
And he messed his leg up.
And he might have played in the NFL for a period of time. But, yeah, That's 30 for 30 on ESPN. So if you ever get a chance to watch that, check it out.
Yep.
Very interesting story.
But I want to know, I'm going to give you another one. Another little thing that probably people don't know about. The brother of the guy that made the shot from Villanova last year, he won a championship in North Carolina this year.
The brother?
Yeah, the brother. Remember the last year, the brother that made the three-pointer to win the game against North Carolina?
Okay.
His brother played for North Carolina.
For Villanova.
Yeah, one of them played for Villanova. One of them played for North Carolina, brothers.
Wow.
They foster kids, but they brothers, you know. They're the same family.
Didn't know that.
Somebody did.
That is some trivia information.
Somebody found the right kids.
Okay.
All of them good kids, but when you find two Division I's and one in the same household and they foster kids, who abandoned those children?
Yeah.
That's what make me think. I'm like, why would you want to abandon a gift like that?
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Somebody else enjoying that blessing.
Yes, they are. Because they headed for the league.
Yeah,
baby.
They both headed for the league.
They headed for the league. They got that national championship to go with it.
Foster kids.
Man.
That's a blessing.
Yes, it is, man. Foster kids. There are probably some great kids that have grown up in society where, like you said, they've been abandoned.
Yeah. Speaking of that, it's a program going on right now that I'm connected to. I really can't share too much on the radio, but if you were a recent mom and you're single, and you're not, I'm not saying homeless, but if you have.
Struggling.
If you're couch surfing or you're staying with your mom or something and you just had a kid, we can get you resources where you probably can get a house or a vehicle or something. But you got to have good character.
Okay.
You got to have good character. You can't be having no other issues going on. I can connect you with some great resources in this county because we done helped several kids already.
Really, that's great information, man.
So how do they get a hold to you? Just contact me on Facebook, Chauncey Williams. My phone number is 231-683-5342. And then I just want to meet you because my name go out there when I recommend people. So I want to make sure I put the right people in the right place so the children that they have don't become a foster kid.
Right.
And you get to keep your kids. So that's me thinking about that. So it's a couple. And they were happy with the people I've sent so far. I've sent about 6 young ladies. And
really?
The company's really impressed with the people I sent. So I don't want to send someone that I go over their house and it smell like weed or something.
Oh,
or,
no.
You know, it's
some problems. You got kids in the house. Can't have it.
I can't. No. I'm not gonna put my name online for something that's not credible. So make sure you contact me. You're a credible person and you about getting your life in the right order because a kid is not a mistake and it's not. It's a way to get you back on track. This is a program to get you back on track and get you, I mean, some amazing things. I can't even say on air what they'll do for you, but they've done some great things for some people that I know. And I just want to see some more people get blessed in this situation.
That's good. Good. Yeah, because you had a child, and like you say, the home environment may have not been conducive for you to stay there, and you know, with an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, and you really need to have your own place now. The thing to do is to get a hold of Chauncey, give him a call, and, you know, get some help.
Yeah, if you're a single mom and you need somewhere to stay. I mean, if you're staying with your mom or somebody, that's not your residence.
Okay.
It's not.
That's right.
You have somebody else's residence. So you want your own. You
child.
Get your own. Man, today it's April is financial month. You know that, don't you?
Oh, you betcha.
You know why it's financial month? Them taxes. April 18th. I saw you today. I was
April
coming.
April 18th.
Yeah, I was coming from a tax place today.
Yeah, that's when I seen it.
I still got more tax work to do on my personal business and my own personal self, but that was for our business. But I saw you. I was like, and it's financial month. So
yes, it is, man, in a number of ways.
Yes, it is.
You know, this is a month where, when you divvy up and you get with the take care of the government, but also it gives you an opportunity to take inventory. You know, that tax statement basically says where you at financially.
That's right. And saying, so, how can I make it bigger and better? How can I make my deductions look good on paper and benefit me and my family? And it's the growth. It's a report card.
That's what it is, man. And like I told you, my accountant told me that I'm paying more in taxes this year.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
And he said, well, you know why you paying more? Because you earned more, okay?
You made more money.
So, all right. That's the American way, man.
That's the American way. Yes, yeah, now, I just want to give a shout-out to the company that me and my business partners attended today. It was Forest Taxes. Forest Taxes off actually Ashley Forest, president.
Oh, okay.
And so Clay. Yep, 173 West Clay Avenue, Muskegon, Michigan, 49440. I was like, well, we got a local business. Why not have a local tax rep?
That's right.
You know, I mean, let's make sure we do it right and make sure we connect. But I just want to give them a shout-out. Forest Taxes, Ashley Forest, and 173 Clay Avenue, Muskegon, Michigan, 49444.
Right there where the beauty shops are.
That's right. And what's the restaurant on the corner? That's a pretty good restaurant, too.
Yeah.
We've been there at Claire's.
We had lunch, man. We had lunch there.
Is it Claire's or something?
No, man.
Carmen's.
Carmen's.
Yes, yeah. I always get a turkey burger when I go there. So
right.
Those are two good establishments and, local dollars. I always trying to figure out how my dollar can keep on recycling in my own community.
Absolutely.
And you know what I mean? In my own community.
In my own community.
You know, and just seeing that and seeing people that are knowledgeable, that's what I love to spend my money with. And just seeing that today and working with in that capacity with Forest Taxes, that they really showed me that they're gaining some great knowledge over there and doing some big things in a major way. So I appreciate the services and everything. Because we interviewed about several places. I called about several places and it took me and my partners a long time to figure out who. That's why we in the month of April.
That's an important piece of work, man.
Yes, it is.
So you want to make sure that you got the right folks that's going to look out for you and do the right things.
So it's all about growth in the future and just keep on growing. So we appreciate that experience. So
you got a couple weeks yet, and if you haven't found anybody, here you go. Go down there and see the folks at Forest Tax and because you got to go to somebody.
You got to go to somebody.
Might as well go to somebody in your neighborhood.
You can't look at all them W-2s and 1099s on your table.
Right. Yeah. And run out to the big, the ones that do all the advertising on TV, the Jackson Hughes.
Yeah, H&R Block. That's
going
to hit you with the standard deduction.
Yeah. You know, you're a number to them.
You're a number.
These folks here takes a personal interest.
That's right. Yeah, I don't want to be no number, man. That's sad when you're a number.
Yep.
You get taxed when you're a number.
Okay.
Oh, Put a calculator out. If you do this, you do this. Oh, that's an extra hour.
Yeah.
You know how they do.
Oh, yeah. It's about numbers. They're pushing them in, they're pushing them out. Okay? It's a business. How many do today?
Then that storefront they at, they might be empty. They're saying.
Oh, they do.
Like, they're
not
there
year-round.
And you go around, like, where they go?
Yeah, they're not there year-round.
Boys, so it's always good to have a professional. It's always good to have a professional doing it. Yep. That's year-round that you can see. And, you know, they're invested in the community also, so.
Yeah, we'll get a little more involved next week's show with the finances and the taxes and things like that. So closer to that deadline date.
Yes, sir. Deadline.
If you're not ready, file for an extension. Don't wait. Doesn't cost you anything. File for an extension, but you must pay your taxes because the IRS don't play.
They want that bill.
They don't play.
Got that bill.
They will come and get you.
Yep. What you got today, Tony? I know you sent me some emails and some things.
You know, man, I had something come across my desk that kind of made me sit down, man, because when I was reading it, I looked at this and I thought, man, this is an attack on the public school system. And what this is the budget for 2018-2019 school year, which is coming from the current administration.
Okay.
And
45.
Okay.
Sound like a weapon.
Okay.
45. See that?
I'm going to read just the headline of it, and then I'm going to just go through some of the breakdowns. And as an educator, you'll be able to expand on some of these topics.
Okay.
But it says on March 16th, President Trump released his skinny 2018 budget proposal.
He said skinny?
Skinny. All right, in parentheses, skinny. Yeah,
the docs.
Which briefly outlined the administration's plan for the future of federal education funding. Okay.
Yes, sir.
The budget proposal covers only discretionary funding, and even then does not list complete impact on all discretionary federal programs. If passed, the funding changes include the proposal will begin to impact schools in the 2018-2019 school year. The very, very top of the list, it says, U.S. Department of Education cut $9.2 billion. You hear what I said, man?
They cut that.
They're going to cut from the Department of Education $9.2 billion, and we'll go into some of the line items here shortly.
$9.2 billion, like it's a financial expert that I always follow. I follow Dave Ramsey, but I follow this guy called John Hope Brain. Talk about civil rights, right?
Okay.
And he says, he's with the Hope Network in major cities like Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia, New York. I tried to get one here. I'm going to get one here.
All right. He told me, I believe it.
He said, well, you ready? I'll show you how to build a bank and everything in your institution or your organization. I was like, okay. I mess with him on Facebook all the time, but he has the Detroit office and they contacted us. But he said this. He said, when America gets a cold, the urban core gets pneumonia.
It's pneumonia.
So that's the pneumonia about to pass. It's about to be a ripple effect of that $9.2 billion coming in our community.
$9.2 billion that comes off the books. That money is not allocated to any school system. That is a lot of money, man. It's huge. On the flip side, school choice programs, they're going to invest an additional $1.4 billion with a matching $100 billion in state and local funds.
Hold up.
You didn't say programs.
Look at this. Let me. You said $100 billion?
You heard me.
No, you take $9 billion.
You took $9
billion. But you're going to find another $100 billion?
We're going to invest with a matching $100 billion.
Stop. Let's stop. Let's go back. Now, look. Let's go back now, Tony.
Okay.
Let's go here. See, I got a mind like a brick. Remember our girl DeVos?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the show we did with the package?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm an investor and I invest in school of choice or academy, my money is, my tax exemption is double.
Yep, there you
for
go.
That dollar amount.
That's it.
$6,000 to be $12,000. $30,000 to be $60,000.
Matching $100 billion.
If I pay for a student to go to school and sponsor an athlete or something to one of those parochial schools.
Private schools.
My money will be doubled in the investment that I make. As a trust that I can gain and make money off of?
Yeah.
So that's why they say, you say the word, the right word, invest.
That's it. School. So you got school choice programs. Then you have charter schools. Okay, this is a little different. They're going to get $168 million. Okay, so they're going to get a big chunk. Private schools are going to get $250 million in federal dollars. So you're taking that billion, all those billions, although he's allocating other monies elsewhere. But basically, he's taking money out of the public school systems to fund school choice programs, charter schools, private schools, Title I. Okay?
What are they going to do to Title I?
They get $1 billion in Title I. All right? 21st century community learning center programs. I know we use that here in Muskegon Public School Systems. That's $1.2 million that's taken out of that program. $2.4 million is going to be eliminated out of Title II and supporting effective education grants. So basically what this is, it eliminates $2.4 billion for programs that help poorly, well, it says that the funds are poorly targeted and spread thinly across thousands of districts with scant evidence of impact. But it's basically helping schools with at-risk kids. Okay. And then there's another 20-plus educational categories that are going to be eliminated. This is not good.
20-plus.
This is not good, man. Yeah, 20-plus. And, you know, I mean, school systems are already fighting at a deficit in order to maintain their schools.
But, you know, the argument that the privileged side.
Oh, yeah, I know what the argument is.
You know the argument. they're not learning anyway.
Right, the product. They're saying that the product that is turned out is not a equivalent to the amount of money that we're spending.
That's right. So we might as well just cut the money and just keep on getting the same product.
Yeah. Let's cut the money. Let's put it elsewhere. Let's put it over into these private schools, parochial schools, charter schools, expanded school of choice, which basically says that we're going to take this money away from some of the more core inner city schools, and we're going to move them to some of the outlying schools, okay? So therefore, school of choice is that now we have more money, we can accept more students. What ultimately says the demise of the inner city schools are gonna happen. All right, and we know who those outlying schools are, okay? We know who they are.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so who's going to bat, man, for our schools? All right, who's going to bat for them?
It's people being put in place in Congress and in other places. Judges are being selected.
Yep.
That support that, what you
that
just showed.
That support it.
And I get emails all the time from my teachers' unions. They talk about, watch this person. They not for public education.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this person. They not for public education. It's like judges and people that they're electing, they already ready to swing the pendulum.
Yes, they are.
Towards the private and the parochial school and a charter and say, well, hey.
And the sad part about it is they're using taxpayers' dollars, okay? If they wanted to fund these schools with other sources of income, hey, this is a free enterprise country. Have at it.
It's on them.
But I got a real, real problem with taking our monies and supporting private schools, parochial schools, and even charter schools, okay? Because most of those are for profit, all right? All the ones that I've named are for profit. And speaking to the superintendent of our school district, every year we battle to balance the budget.
Okay? Got to lay off teachers at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Rehire them.
Yeah, crazy stuff like that. So if you think it's bad now, when we take this money off the table, it is going to get worse, all right? And the only thing that we can do is make sure that our congressmen and our senators don't support this kind of stuff. And when these bills come up, they shoot them down or go in and make sure that these other folks don't get tax dollars. So that's my soapbox today, man, because that hurts me to see what the federal government has already done to the school system, and now it's going to get even worse. Falling down. Schools is falling down. Closing schools. But, yeah, we can build new jails and build prisons, but not schools.
That's right. Because that's, you already know, the 13 and 14 Amendment. We took the kids last weekend to Michigan State to, and we took them to University of Michigan. We took two different groups. We took a group to the the Peace National Convention, World Peace Convention.
Mm-hmm.
A group of young brothers with the YEP program, they went with them. And then we took a group of young brothers to Michigan State for the spring football game and a little small college tour, you know, to see the dorm life and, you know, hang out and with the football team and go to a clinic. And when I was there, I saw three of my old friends that played football at Michigan State. And one of them was one of the greats, Jonathan Walker.
Oh, yeah, I know Jonathan.
Yeah, Johnny, that was my buddy, man, in school. That guy was silly in college. But we were talking. There was a couple other guys there. And we were talking. They were talking about wrestling, why the kids should wrestle. And it was getting information. Like, you want to be a good athlete, you want to be a good football player, you should wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was mentioning that. But then we got on the subject of just talking about our careers in education. And one of the guys that I'm going to keep him on name, he talked about, like, he asked me what I was doing and where I was working at. And he remember when Detroit had first laid off a large group of teachers. And I said, where you been at? He said, man, the last 3 years I've been in three different schools.
Mm. Schools in Detroit school system.
All right. One of them in Detroit school system. Another one is working for National Heritage, like Timberland schools.
Right.
And he said, we keep on. We can't keep them. We can't retain it.
No.
So then look at that. You breaking all this new stuff and they struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the public struggling. Everybody's struggling. Everybody fighting for, it's like everybody is 50 feet of water and they got this small raft.
Right.
With a spoon.
Ain't nobody finna pull you in.
And one wrong turn, the charter or the public in those major cities like that can just be gone. It's a downturn. Then somebody got to look for another job that's highly qualified. These guys got master's degrees. They're deans. You know, they're deans of the high schools or wherever they at. And it's like, they got great education, because I know Michigan State is like number one in elementary education. It's one of the best educational schools in the country.
Yes, it is.
So, when you got people on a carousel for learning because of cuts and budget cuts, what kind of education the kids going to get?
And then that makes, you know, for college students, their career choice, they look at education and say, why should I go into education?
Man, I'm going to show you something. Okay. I'm on LinkedIn, right? I think our superintendent responded to it, too, because, you know, Michigan State, I used to always go to it and help them with recruiting the College of Ed. It was part of me being on the board in the College of Ed as a student. When I graduated, 3 years, come back and worked a job fair.
Mm-hmm.
So I just checked on it, and I was like, I called up and just hung out. But then I was looking on my LinkedIn profile, my news feed, and it was empty.
Mm.
I'm talking about, we have it at the Breslin every year for the teachers, right?
Okay.
Nobody was there.
Nobody's headed for education as far as a career choice.
Not from what I've seen. Not in Michigan.
Well.
And I'm talking about, I'm a guy, graduated from college in 2000. I remember going in the 90s. Every year I used to go because I'm going to give me one of these jobs. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm going to be in Detroit. I wanted to be in a big city. I'm going to be in Boston. And those things happen. But those opportunities was like, oh, we need you. We need you. Come on in. Come on, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw it. The picture that they posted, she was like, it's the days and times of the 80s and 90s and early 2000s is over.
It's over, man. Yeah. When we were in Florida, it passed February.
I got to show you this picture.
Advertising for teachers. From what I understand, there's a teacher shortage across this country.
It's even in our district when it comes to subs. They got to put it on a billboard for the whole county.
Right.
Why subs want it.
Yeah, because first of all, there's not enough qualified teachers to be permanent, and then those are probably some that were permanent decided to make a career choice because of the various budget cuts, reduced salaries and benefits,
or leave the state.
I'll go somewhere else, I'll do something different. So now you got an issue where you're just trying to attract subs. We know we can't get permanents, so we'll attract subs, and now they're having a difficult time doing that. And I think it's across this country. But what we're doing on the federal stage is not the answer. This is going to exacerbate the whole thing about.
You call it the trickle down effect. That's how I remember you saying something like that before.
Yeah.
When we talked about other issues, the trickle down effect. When we talked about John O'Brien saying, once America get a cold.
Oh yeah.
Certain people getting pneumonia.
If you're in the city, get pneumonia. You know, I see where this thing is headed to. It's going to be basically. Virtual high schools.
Oh, yeah. We got one here already, Success University.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But then You're gonna get that group of kids that don't care.
Right.
And they don't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and you know, there's a purpose for a school. I mean, there are certain things that you learn in the school system from a social environment, how to interact with other people. You know, you develop relationships, friendships with other people. Virtual schools say, well, you sit at home in front of a computer, and that's how you learn. Well, to a certain degree, but you're going to miss out on a lot of other things, participating in arts, music, sports, clubs, cultural type activities. It's going to be hard to do. But if there's no money to support these brick-and-mortar schools, let alone pay for people to be in the schools to teach them, it's going to be tough. You know, that's why we got so many empty schools.
That's
man.
Right, empty facilities.
There's not enough money to support them. You lose the population.
But then you know what happens when you have an empty school. You know that that means a criminal sexual conduct person can move into that community.
Yeah, school is no longer a school.
No longer a school. So now that's a community that you can put somebody in that comes from an incarcerated situation that's a sexual offender.
Yeah.
Against kids under 16, you can move him in that neighborhood now.
Right. Kids still live in the neighborhood.
Oh, kids, they play in the playground.
They just closed the school. That's all. Put them on a bus. Send them to another school. But so, they're still school. Kids are still in the neighborhood.
One thing I wanted to commend the Heights for is when that group came in from Grand Rapids to bring that build that home in Roosevelt. That's going to bring, you seen that property in or Roosevelt, how Roosevelt looks. That looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to come out of that, now you got some people in a building. They live in there somewhere.
Yeah, they've converted that
they
school
took that
building.
Whole block.
Yeah, that's huge, man.
That's huge.
Wow, that place is
man,
big.
Man, that's big. So look at the resource that's going to be poured in there and the help people going to receive from that. But then at first it was just an eyesore.
Yes,
an old
it
building
was.
That was empty.
Yes, it was.
So that's we need more innovative thinking like that. Instead of cutting billions of dollars, figure out how to create centers in your community mm-hmm. that could bring some type of hope to a population of people, veterans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disabled people, people recovering their lives from rehabilitation, you know? Rehabbing or training centers, trades, build in the trades. Like, they always want to cut.
Yeah.
Build in a skill for us, please.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope I don't have to lean into politics later on in my life. It just seemed like I don't want to be a politician, but it seemed like it's starting to happen because I'm starting to look at stuff like somebody got to put the fight up.
We got to change, man.
Man. They clueless.
It is, man. And, you know, and a lot of this stuff is what the past administration had put in place to address some of the issues that we're talking about, okay? And it all boils down to economics at the end of the day, okay? It boils down to economics because if you can educate your kids to the point where they can come out of school, go to college, get a trade, get a job, become productive citizens, from an economic standpoint, that helps the community.
That's right.
Okay?
Viable citizens.
Yeah. If they go to jail, okay, that's not going to help the community from an economic standpoint. It detracts from it because there's a cost associated with housing those individuals. So when you look at stuff like this, where you're going to reduce the budget for public schools, not good. Not good at all. And School of Choice says that we're going to be taking kids out of the district that they live and send them somewhere else. Chauncey's showing me a picture of this job fair.
At Michigan State.
And
read the caption, what it say.
There's nobody there. This was the view from MSU's teacher job fair today. In the heart of the day, in the 80s and the 90s, it was packed. If you weren't aware, we have a serious problem in education. Teaching has become an undesirable profession, and it breaks my heart.
And I do this. This is what I do. Like, they can get rid of paying me. You gonna see Chauncey still going to the gym.
Okay.
Still going to the prison. Still trying to work with somebody's kid. That's what I know how to do.
That's your calling, man.
Before I even got my education, that's what I was known as. Like, oh, he'll work with you. He'll help you. It's just, that's my thing.
That's your DNA.
Yeah,
that's
my
who you
DNA.
Are, man.
So it's like, when you look at something like that and you see that, you're like, man.
That's sad, man. You need to post that on your Facebook page, man.
She's been in the game a long time, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a lot of benefits being an educator. I mean, they pay off the student loans. You know, it's a lot of benefits. And it's just the people you connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a job that just keep on giving. It's a career, but that just keep on giving and just giving and giving and giving. People talk about, oh, they don't make a lot of money. They don't do. I mean, certain professors, certain teachers do.
Certain teachers make.
I'm not doing that bad. I'm not doing that bad. Okay. So, but when you look at it, you got to have a heart for this, though.
You got to have a heart.
And then what?
It's a tough job.
So the heart might be leaving in the people that signing up for it.
That's right, man.
Some people probably sign up and say, well, I get the summers off. No, you don't.
No, see, because they went in half-hearted, right? Yep.
No, you don't. You don't get the summers
off. So that means they only have to give up half their heart. Now they out of there.
I can remember early in my career, all I did was work basketball camps in the summer camp. They always call, Johnson, we need you here in Lansing. We need you here in U of D. We need you here. I'm like, I ain't going to never have no summer.
Okay.
But then the connections and relationships I had was later scholarships for kids that I taught, or I was able to send kids to camp for free, or connecting with AAU teams today. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I look back, I'm like, wow, God was laying some foundations for me because I was to choose. I didn't say no
right
to my gift. And looking at that empty room.
That is amazing.
And I got my Michigan State jock suit on today. Just
yeah, you geared out today, bro.
I always do, man. I don't wear no other school unless I send a kid there. And then if I wear another school, I still be biased. I mean, like, and I don't even like, I like Tom Izzo, but I don't, you know, when you know somebody and you spend some time at them, you still got love for them, but you be mad at them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It's that old love-hate relationship.
Yeah, yeah, but you love the mess out of them because you seen them grow.
You hate some of the stuff you do sometimes.
Yeah, but looking at this at the Breslin,
that
this
is a big event, man.
And I actually had to work this a couple of summers. And
so you know what she's saying.
Man,
you lived
it. I'm talking about both sides, man. I'm talking about being there and all for one, all the pretty girls.
All the pretty ladies. All the pretty ladies.
You want to go with your suit on. They're like, oh, Josh. I remember my first one. I was a sophomore. I showed up with a tie with money on it. It was like, you at the wrong job, fair young man.
You at the wrong job. You got to get rid of that tie.
Yeah.
You ain't like, got no money.
You sign up. And there's this that tie of money here. I remember my friends was cracking up. But all the pretty ladies was getting their jobs. They was signed, you know, they was graduating with their masters. They had their skirts on. I remember that. It was
okay.
Packed, man. I was like, I'm coming back.
Right.
I was going with people that was graduating. I was just going. Then I ended up getting into the College of Ed, and they added me to the board, the student. Okay. So I was part of the student board where we could select the students' applications, and we get them approved. And I was only, like, African-American during my tenure doing that. So that was, like, over my,
that's a great honor,
my
man.
5 years at MSU during my internship. I was only the minority on that board to select. And it was a tough process. Sometimes you see your friends' applications or you see people that you knew, and people have, and it's a competitive, it was a competitive college back then.
Okay.
I know I had to have I had 3.5 to get in there. And it was rough. I was like, if you didn't have extra things you did at school, like volunteering or played any sports or anything, if you didn't have that extra about you, that was like, oh, we don't need you.
Right.
Because you have to be a total person.
Mm-hmm.
To be in that. So just looking at that, what you just showed me today, the deficits and how they going to cut something on why people put in hard work, blood, sweat, and tears every day.
Yeah, because this is going to affect public higher education too, okay? This is not just going to be from a high school level, K through 12. This is also going to affect the public-supported colleges in this country.
I want to read some of the comments. Let me see before we get off today.
Okay.
I wrote, remember when it was packed. Let me see. I got another one. I think our superintendent wrote on this. He didn't. He just liked it. It's educator said, sad indeed. Given current administration in the White House and in Lansing, unfortunately, I doubt it will improve anytime soon. Yeah. And he says, I agree, because teachers are the finest people on the earth. Very sad. God bless all of the wonderful teachers. Education reform has made our profession undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability through teaching, test-taking skills, and emphasis on what's going to be the test has made the education profession less desirable. It is a sad day. MSU alumni. Class of 99, I know this guy, Garrett. That teacher job fair was always packed from school districts all over the country. I can't blame the kids now. Adults have made it hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, he was like me. He was going there hanging out in 99.
Right.
My first teacher fair. Now, 98 was. It was like my sophomore going into my senior year, my junior year. And I remember that. And I was like, I'm coming back. Somebody said, just come. So okay. I came with a town with a money tie. Like,
I come for the money.
But it brought a lot of attention. And it ended up letting me see some summer opportunities. So But I love that place, and it was like the college, Erickson College was my spot on campus. And looking at what you got on that paper right there, man, that's
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that brings a lot of stress and a lot of pressure to my mind right now. Sad, but it's like, man. Well,
what it says is we got work to do. We got work to do, man. We gotta make sure this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
All right. This is proposed. Forward. This is a proposed budget.
A lot of
teachers' associations are behind, you know, saying that no, enough is enough. Okay, we can't take any more of this stuff. And hopefully the citizens that listen to our show will talk to, you know, our school board, our superintendents, let them know, hey, whatever we got to do to help support, make sure this thing don't happen, we're here to help you. Go to school board meetings, okay? It's time to get out here and be involved so our school systems don't suffer anymore. They've suffered enough. So I'm Tony Williams.
And I'm Chauncey Williams, and this is What Did I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.